and all these, as women, we create monsters when we pet these men. And
when you
live, when we pet them, and, you know, all the years.
Well, that's just talking about the title of the lesson being loyal. Because, as the writer points out, when everything's going okay, being loyal is good. It's not difficult. But when circumstances change, our loyalties get disturbed. Because, I mean, like you mentioned, shopping at Belk's, are you loyal to that store? Would you say that? And what would cause you not to want to go shop there?
Don't have any money.
Don't have any money, number one.
With a salesperson. Mm-hmm.
Are there selection changes?
I just wish I could find something when I go shopping. It
doesn't
fit me.
Oh. So if we think about those little things like that, I mean, we've gone past Easter, but we're still talking about the process a little bit. And, you know, we left, and like at this point, Jesus has talked to his disciples. He's told them what's going to happen. Last week we talked about him going to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray and how they reacted there. And we know from last week that at one point they just left. They left him. Now, was their loyalty to him changed in any way? Or were they just scared and afraid?
You're loyal to somebody, but then sometimes you can be loyal to somebody, but you're still going to put yourself first.
True.
And they were loyal to Jesus, but they were going to put themselves first because they didn't want to be harmed in any way either.
Mm-hmm. And I never really thought much about it, but in the garden when the army, everybody came, and Peter drew out his sword, why didn't he cut off the ear of one of the soldiers? Why did he cut off the ear of a servant?
Because the soldiers had they had swords too, so they could retaliate. You could pull your sword and kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Then it would be the servant probably didn't have anything.
But Scripture tells us that even after that, Jesus healed that man. So how do you think that made Peter feel? I'm trying to protect you, and now you heal that person. So what good is my role here? So did that have any significance maybe in the way Peter reacts later on? Because then, you know, Jesus was taken, presented to, quote, the army, the commanders took him, and they took him to Pilate. But Scripture picks up in Matthew chapter 26, verse 63. And I can imagine once they brought Jesus before the leader, let's say, what was going on. I'm sure there was a lot of, I mean, we'll find out later, too, how Jesus was treated. But once they got in before Caiaphas, things that were said, things that were done. Now, if you were taken before, brought in towards a group of people who were angry at you, would you just sit there and not say anything?
people who try to defend ourselves.
Mm-hmm. If I thought, if I knew that I was right, they were wrong.
Would you speak up?
Yes.
See, Joy would too. It's not just me. Joy said the same thing.
I'd try to make you see where I was right. That's where I'm convinced of it.
Mm-hmm. Because we'll pick up in verse 62, or before that, it says, finally, two came forward and declared, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But it tells us, Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Now, if you've ever gone to court and you had to be a witness or you were on trial for anything, you know you have to be sworn in. You agree to say the truth, the whole truth. You place your hand on the Bible. But then you're questioned. What happens if you reacted like Jesus? If you just sat there and didn't say anything, they're going to call you out, probably contempt of court, whatever they call it, and then you'll be punished. You'll be fined. You'll be sentenced, whatnot. Jesus knew what was coming. Did he really have to say anything? I mean, he could have replied, you know, like I thought about this, when siblings fuss and fight and mama steps in and what's going on? Well, she said it. I didn't. You know, she did it first. I didn't do it, or he did it. But Jesus didn't do that. He remained silent. And even after Caiaphas asked him, aren't you the Son of God? Different translations in the scripture lesson, Jesus just says, you have said it. You know who I am. You just told everyone. And then it says, but I tell you, in the future, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Now another one says, in the future, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One. Now, questions kind of came up maybe. You have said it. You know who I am. But you'll see the Son of Man. But you've also told us, and we also know, that you're the Son of God. So, break it down. Are you the Son of Man, earthly man, or are you the Son of God? Because it goes on to say that the one being judged, which would be Jesus, he would become the one with all the power to judge the world. We know Jesus and God are one and the same, but he did come to earth in a humanly form. So being seated at the right hand of God, just he is God's Son, he is Jesus, he is God. Now, listening to him at that point, would that encourage you to stay loyal to his teachings in difficult circumstances? Or do we sometimes, when things get real bad, do we want to withdraw and try to do it ourselves? And we find out real quick, we can't do that sometimes.
So we think too that we can do it faster.
Mm-hmm.
solve the problem with monster. But then on the other hand, who wouldn't want to meet? I mean, you know, if you needed the person was sitting right next to power, which we all know would be Jesus, why wouldn't you want to stay right there with the top instead of trying to do it yourself? And we don't do that. We know he is all powerful, so everything is under him. Everything is in his control and in his time, but yet still, we don't do that.
We're not patient enough sometimes.
Even more so today because everything's instant.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell people, I remember Saturday morning, we'd go to the gas station with my dad, and we'd stay there 4 hours to get the oil changed. Now you go, and 20 minutes later, you're gone. So, but then, after Jesus' reaction, verse 65 tells us that the high priest tore his robes and says he is blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You've heard the blasphemy. Now, if you're Caiaphas, and this is where it's been taught, but they all knew who Jesus was. So, is Caiaphas put in a position that I've really got to prove something on him, or my people are going to turn on me? So why would he tear his robes? Was it to distraction to the people, to get their mind off of what he's thinking, or?
Well, it says sometimes they do that in anger. Emotions.
Mm-hmm. But was that part of his act in front of his people? Trying still to show that I know I'm above everyone. And he asked him in verse 66 through 68, what is your decision? He's talking to the people. And they respond, he deserves death. And this is where I think sometimes we forget. I know a lot of us probably saw the movie, The Passion of Christ. It says, then they spat in his face and beat him, and others slapped him and said, prophesy to us, Messiah, who was it that hit you? Would you go so far as to question Jesus? Or have we sometimes in life, why did this happen to me? But did these people just take an opportunity, like sometimes we see today, there's a disturbance or something I don't like, and the crowd begins to build, and somebody throws a rock or lights a fire, so we all join in and react.
Then go sit in jail again.
Who threw the first rock, or who lit the fire? Well, I didn't do that, even though, you know. If you go back up to 64, it says, coming on the clouds of heaven. And don't you think that made him look like nobody else could come on clouds? This man was human. Jesus has the power to come on clouds. I mean, don't you think that kind of made him feel like sort of stupid, because he didn't have an answer to that? Jesus was telling him exactly what was going to happen. And if I told you that when we leave here, I was going to be riding on a cloud, what would you think?
I'd say, go ahead. I won't be with you.
But you know where I'm coming from. You see, I mean, that's just something, and I'll be coming on the clouds, and don't you feel like the people thought, and that's kind of, you know, that is blast. That's like voodoo, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Probably in their minds.
He's like just
witch doctors that we talk about, that kind of stuff. And yet still the Son of God made that statement.
Mm-hmm.
Coming on
clown. How could he make that statement?
And that's why he's going to be coming back here.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we know that because we're believers, but these were not believers, so they couldn't understand the cloud, I guess, reference to the clouds.
Yeah, because there's some scriptures that kind of all tie in together. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says, the sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. It says, after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. But if you go forward in verse 13 in the same chapter of Hebrews, it says, to which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? He never invited anyone else to do that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. In verse 2, it says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. So the people,
those Jewish people was slapping and spitting and doing the cruelest thing just to think they were above Jesus.
Yeah, because he wasn't their man. They didn't believe it.
Mm-mm.
So we can treat you that way because we know.
And that was the worst thing, spitting on someone.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they knew he had done miracles, they still said, this is just the fellow from Nazareth. You know, he's one of us.
And
some of them still might be thinking that. You know, even though they knew what great things he had done, they just thought, he's just...
Mm-hmm.
And then they wanted a political leader to overthrow, and if he came humble. And
it also makes you wonder how many people in all of this, the crowd, had seen a miracle. How many of those people had ever been exposed to his teachings? Or were these people that, and this today in today's society, this happens too now, that we're going to riot in Chicago and... So I'm going to take off work and go up there, but I live here, and I really don't have a dog in that fight, but I'm going anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So how many of these people showed up to see what was going on, and they had no idea who Jesus was anyway, because they had never been exposed to it. So naturally, you know, it's like you said, Vaga, they're going to throw the brick or light the fire, and it's just going to escalate.
Well, they probably had heard of him. But would you say like this, okay, we've heard of you now, we see you, so if you are truly the man, the Son of God, prove it, show it, prophesy right now. But this writer points out there was some problems that really, first, the religious leaders should have known the teachings of the Scripture, and they should have upheld them, but they didn't. They set aside the Word of God to achieve greatness for them.
Well, they knew all that, and I don't understand today even the Orthodox Jews. Mm-hmm. They've known. They've seen all this stuff, and yet they don't
believe it.
They're still waiting for
him to...
He's already come.
Mm-hmm. It says, secondly, they misapplied the nature of prophecy, and then they disbelieved Jesus' nature as the Messiah, and they used his own words against him to mock him. Now this is where we jump into Peter. We all know who Peter was and things that had happened. But after they take Jesus away, Peter and John kind of follow him for a little ways and kind of stay behind. Now, should they be commended for doing that since the others had left? Don't know. Or were they truly caring about Jesus and they wanted to go with him as far as they could Do you think they had any inkling that maybe at some point we can save him? Or he's told us this is going to happen, and I'm curious enough to know, so I'm going to watch and see. Because in Peter's case, we go back to where he cut the ear off the servant, one of the priest's servants. Now, if you had done that, and you were following Jesus along, and you know where he's headed, would you want to go? I've already hurt one of your servants, so I'm fearful for what you might do to me, but yet still, I come along. I'm staying with my Savior. But it says that they got to a point, this verses 69 and 70. It says, Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. And she says, you also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But Peter denied it before everyone there. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. Now, we all know that Jesus had told Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. So Peter had been seen. But I'm not that man. I'm not him. So there again, am I doing this because I want to follow my Savior? But the writer kind of points out, and maybe we don't know or do know, it was the servant girl just made a statement. But Peter's reaction to her was kind of quick and sharp. You know, do we ever do that? If somebody ever questions us about something, do we pop off first before we think about it? It's human nature. But he denied, like I said, that she even knew what she was talking about. I kind of wonder, you know, should he have just remained silent? Because now all the attention is going to be brought towards him. But it goes on to tell us that, it says, then he went out to the gateway where another girl saw him, and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. And once again, Peter denied it. I don't know the man. Now, should Peter have responded in a different way? I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know Jesus. But he just says, I don't know that man. Now, is Peter then maybe saying it that way to lessen his stature with Jesus, his position there, so people would leave him alone? Yeah, instead of saying that, I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know Jesus. Now, that would have been one thing. But when he just says, you know, that man, did that just further take him away from Jesus? He didn't respond in the way he should.
But it's kind of like he's trying to distance himself.
I'm one of you.
Yeah, I'm trying to distance myself from that person.
Mm-hmm.
So, because like you said, none of these are questions, they're all statements. Do you know, instead of saying, the fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth, why don't you say, weren't you with Jesus of Nazareth? But they're just the statement. And so they never really questioned him. They all just kind of made a statement out loud, and he was the one who came back.
Mm-hmm.
had the two women, and then you had a crowd of people and asked him. Mm-hmm. Just three times.
Yeah, because it goes on to say, after a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away." Well, we can tell if somebody is not, even from the United States, from a foreign country, by their accent. So once again, Peter, I won't say he was caught, but he was put in a position that we know who you are, but you still remain and you still are staying with your story. But then Peter's reaction, and I find this kind of interesting. It says, "Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, 'I don't know the man.'" Why would Peter call down curses upon himself if he truly knew Jesus? Is he then trying to take the attention away from what's going on with Jesus and place it upon himself, that I'm going to take all the suffering now, leave my master alone? And it says he began to curse and swear. Now, follow Christ, we're not supposed to use the language like that. I mean, it teaches us in the Ten Commandments. We shouldn't take the Lord God's name in vain. But when Peter's doing this, and this is where we were told earlier, he heard the rooster crow. Now, if you were Peter at that point, and God had told you, or Jesus had told you, and then this happened, what would you feel? Would you?
Would deny Jesus.
Mm-hmm. I've done it. Would you have any sorrow built up? Would you kind of ask, why me? Or, well, that's not going to write. Here we go. Because two things could have come out of this. What happens if you're placed in a situation like Peter? Would you rather deny your beliefs in front of people, or would you rather show loyalty to your beliefs? Peter had also bragged that he would die for Jesus, but then he failed him while Jesus was praying. And then when Jesus was arrested, he denied even knowing him. Did Peter fail Jesus at that time? Could we say we could take out loyalty? And he fit the role of being denial. But then it says guilt fell on Peter. It says he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." The rooster crowed, and he remembered Jesus saying, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly.
Do you not think you remember that conversation and all of those on the internet?
I wonder if he just got so caught up in everything and was so just terrified of what was going on. I don't know.
But it kind makes of him slipped his mind that we had this conversation about the denial, and Jesus specifically told him And then all of a sudden it's happening. Where was his, like, limited? Where was his thought pattern? You know, did he not remember after being with Jesus all this time? Did he not really listen? And, you know, because we see in the stories and everything from the back, what Jesus said was final. It happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was it. So did Peter just not listen when Jesus was telling him that this was what was going to happen? Hello, Peter, where are you when, you know? And if Peter had been there and seen all the things Jesus was able to do. So it's kind of like, did it just go right over Peter's head when he was saying, like, man, that's just one of those.
I just wonder, too, if he knew what Jesus was in store for, that he was going to the cross and everything. And he thought, well, them people knew it's going to beat him and crucify him. If he owned up knowing him, would they crucify him, too?
Yeah.
Thank God it was printed in the world that Peter was forgiven, redeemed, and he was called the Rock. Jesus was. And that is so encouraging to us because we're going to fall. We're going to make mistakes. And we do this horrendous thing. But there's always that. I just look back to Peter every time and I think, Lord, if Peter was restored, there's hope for me.
Yeah.
And then he wound up building the church.
Because what pressures today can cause us to hide our beliefs?
Be made fun of and stuff.
Mock.
What about the boy's picture in the paper the other day out in Arizona? He was reading his Bible before the class started. It's on in the front page, and one girl went to the teacher and told the teacher it was offensive to her that he was reading the Bible. And they made him stop, but he could read his history lesson, but he couldn't read the Bible in the class.
I would congratulate him for doing it and encourage him to keep doing it. But what's going to happen to him?
Get those out too.
That's the biggest mistake they ever made. We took prayer out of school, the Bible read, and the Pledge of Allegiance.
Well, Paula had a history teacher out at AUM that didn't believe in made the earth and everything. But she had to take that course and just keep her mouth shut. Because it was required for her next.
But what would have happened to Peter if he didn't do what he did? If the first little girl comes up and says, you were with Jesus, you. What if he'd have said, yes, I was.
When Jesus was carrying his cross, Peter might have been carrying his too.
You think so?
Or he was a big stone.
The Lord knew all this was going to happen.
That was God's purpose.
But if we go back to what Annette said, can we look at that and say, we all know, I mean, we've talked about this, we are going to be persecuted for our beliefs. It's not as, I won't say to this point, we haven't seen that yet, but in some foreign countries where our missionaries are, yes. We hear people there, the missionaries that are over there serving and spreading the Lord's word, they're abused, they're attacked, even to the point of death. But they're doing it for the kingdom. So, it does give us comfort, give us truth, knowing, like Annette said, that I may turn my back on you, Lord, but you will be there. You will forgive me, and you will take me back in. Now, people will question you, well, what if you live your whole life that way, every day asking for forgiveness? Well, should we look at it that way? Because you would think that if you live the life that Jesus wanted you to live and follow his teachings, you might not have to ask for forgiveness. We're not perfect. We all make mistakes. But could we lessen our chances of making a mistake if we live by His word closer? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Great lesson. But didn't it say that one of the centurions in the end did turn to the Lord? I wonder if that was the same one who got his ear cut off.
No, because it was a servant, not one of the soldiers that he got his ear cut off. So, but even at that point, that death, you know, you can still, he had a change of heart.
Yeah.
Anybody
have anything else?
It's a good
lesson,
all of
you. Thank you.
Thank you, Alma. I hope the mothers have a happy day and a happy week.
You too.
Let's stand and have our benediction.
The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.